Born of the Virgin Mary, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A scene from 18th century England. In a London charity school, the Protestant bishop of the city, along with several Anglican clergymen, were hearing the little waifs recite their prayers. Came the turn of a Catholic boy who was in that school, and when he finished the Our Father, as he was taught, he went right on to begin the Hail Mary. The Protestant bishop interrupted him, saying, "No, no, we want to hear nothing about her. Go on to the next prayer, boy." And so he began reciting the Apostles' Creed. But when he got to the phrase, "was conceived of the Holy Ghost, born of the..." he stopped, and he looked up at the Protestant bishop, and he said, "Please, my Lord, what shall I do now? Here she comes again." And so indeed, the Virgin Mary is at the very heart of our creed, inextricably bound up with our religion, with our redemption, as would be the life of any mother with those children to whom she gives life. The creed we are studying has her at its heart. When St. Pius X was elected Pope, in his first message to the world, he spoke of Our Lady participating in all of the mysteries and dispensing all graces. She is full of grace. May she give us grace that we need. I mean, for our children and converts to learn their creed well, and for all of us to keep in our heart and in our head all of these words, these truths, as Mary, St. Luke writes, kept all of these words in her heart, to believe the creed without confusion or compromise, clinging to this faith by which we gain the victory over this world, conquering in Christ's name. Now, of course, today's feast day is the commemoration of a historical victory, the sea battle at Lepanto, October 7th, 1571, won by the Christian forces. This was not the first time, nor would it be the last, that the rosary, devoutly prayed, saved Christendom from the hordes of the Muslims, nor would it be the first or the last time that Christendom had to fight for its survival against them, as we still must today. But it was, however, the last battle, a little historical note. You know how you often will see in movies or pictures all the slaves rowing in the galley, one after another, seated in the ship. This is the last battle in which galley ships had a role, and this was the last crusade. Crusades were launched against the enemies of civilization, heretics, Albigensians, but mostly Muslims, always launched by the authority of the Pope to gather all of the Christians together into a common force to fight for survival. But now, the unity of Christendom was shattered. Good Queen Bess in England, Luther in Germany, ripping those countries away from the heart of the church. But still, there were individual cities or countries that would be saved by saying the rosary. If you can think of it, this happened as late as the 1950s in Austria, the only country in Eastern occupied Europe from which the communists from Russia left voluntarily, because a priest had organized a rosary crusade and everyone prayed it. And then as late as Brazil, just before the changes, the mothers of Brazil hit the streets with their rosaries and their thousands, and the communist government was toppled. It's hard for us to imagine such a thing today, isn't it, after the devastation of Vatican II. Brazil, a formerly Catholic country, has now gone towards their religion of candomblé, which is African voodoo or devil worship, majority religion now in Brazil. And Austria always had a strong Masonic influence, which reduces religion to just art or architecture or music, a cultural adjunct to life and nothing more. And throughout the whole church, even those who would fight for the resistance are being neutralized today because dialogue is the order of the day anymore. And doctrine is dispensable, it seems. And we are betrayed by the very men who would be our leaders. And still, you know, as an individual, you know the power of this inspired prayer, the meditating of the mysteries of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ with Mary. As late as the First World War, the great French general Marshal Foch was faithful to his rosary every day, regardless of how busy he was, regardless of having passed entire days and nights without sleep. He never missed it. It sustained him, he said, and it seemed to him that Our Lady often influenced his decisions and assisted him to choose the right strategy for battle. Take the word of an old soldier, he used to tell young people, do not neglect praying the rosary for any reason. Now, our battle is never against some natural enemy. I mean, the Germans in World War I or the Iraqis today, God bless them, no. It is always a battle against not flesh and blood, but the principalities, the world, the rulers of this darkness. I mean, Satan, his fallen angels, and his very active agents. They're the only real enemy we have. And they are always inspiring to pull us down heresy, because it always engenders immorality and promotes the devil's purpose. It takes two forms. I mean, the big heresies of history, those who go off, they've got some new way of understanding the Bible and what should be left out or added to it, and then they start their own religion. Those are relatively few. Far more people get into what one author calls the habit of heresy. I mean, a certain kind of a attitude whereby we ignore some precepts of the church. We think the rules, they don't matter so much. And we know better than Christ about Christendom. We know better than the church about Catholicism. So listen to our leaders and follow our groups and we'll tell you how to do it. How did we ever come to so sad a state? Prayer. Remember prayer. It is the lifeblood of the church. When prayer is neglected, the members of the church atrophy, die, fall off. What is the greatest prayer? The sacred liturgy. It has been destroyed by the changes. And then the result of that, people stopped praying. Who prayed the rosary for so long? No wonder there's such separation from our Savior, such heresy today. But thank God, many people, even those in the modernist church, are starting to pray the rosary again. Who knows what good may come from that? No word, no work shall be impossible with God, the archangel tells Our Lady in today's gospel. Do you believe that to be true? In the Middle Ages, the ages of faith, we call them, people would have considered it inconceivable that there could be a solution to some big problem without prayer. Why, that was those were the weapons that were used. First, prayer, against the Albigensians, against the Muslims, and the rest. Today, people consider it inconceivable that there should be prayer used. No, they would say, for example, look at the big problem we face right now as Catholics. People say, well, again, inconceivable. How could there ever be a solution to our problem? I mean, a true holy pope and the religion that some of you remember from when you were very little, that should be restored to our churches throughout the whole world? Oh, that's impossible. But Gabriel says, no word shall be impossible with God. Not if we pray. Not if we believe that prayer is not impossible. But no, we don't. We act as though somehow, say for this situation, we've got to get together and dialogue and negotiate. And if they will give us the right to our old Latin Mass, well, then we must accept the rest of the changes in principle. No, no, and no. The whole of our wretched situation could be redeemed by the rosary prayer. This proven preventive of times past, the rosary remedy for all of our evils. How does it work? How can I dare to say something like that about the power of the rosary? It works two ways, internally and externally. Internally, it draws people away from false doctrine. How? With the help of the Holy Ghost and your own application. I mean, those who meditate on the mysteries of the rosary. And what is that, if not meditating on the creed day after day, become intimately familiar with these truths. And for them, these are no longer truths written on a page to which they ascribe intellectually. They're not just words. In a word, they are true for you. They are part of you. They are in your heart. And how likely do you think it then that some smart-aleck atheist in a college classroom is going to be able to pull that faith out of the hearts of your children? Or how likely do you think it that some know-it-all television commentator is going to be able to sow the seeds of doubt in your own heart? Or some Ratzinger who, with a smile and a charming Bavarian accent, assures you that we couldn't possibly consider the resurrection as a historical fact as we do the crucifixion. When a heretic says something like that to you, you say, "Get thee behind me, Satan!" You know what's going on, and you say no to the lie and the falsehood of it. Because by the gift of wisdom, these truths so lovingly meditated with Mary become your truth, your possession. No one will take them away. And then externally, the rosary has always been the most efficacious way to beg God to heal heresy wherever it's found. That's why all of the saints and all of the popes are always preaching the rosary, because it does drive out the devil and disunion. But I want you to see especially how it works on one soul after another. How would it work? Were we ever to, we should, but I mean, if we ever really did pray the rosary in our thousands again, in our homes, daily, family rosary, frequently out loud in our churches, and privately, as we go about our business, if enough people all started to pray, would there be a sudden mass conversion? No, although the conversions always have to do with the Holy Mass. This is how conversions happen. When people gather together to pray the rosary for some great intention, as we do say for our Fatima rosary processions, the turning point still comes to them one by one. And all of these individual conversions, and we'd have to be converted first, build their collective weight that tips the scale for a family or for a nation or for the whole Catholic Church. And in the meantime, there's a lot to be said for the meantime. The rosary makes it harder for hell to touch you because it keeps you in touch daily and deeply with God. How? How does he come into your life? Check the creed. Look at its heart, the same way he came in the beginning, born of the Virgin Mary. Please, my Lord, here she comes again. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.